It's time for the Biblical Prophecy Program with your host, Dr. Alan Kirshner of Eschatos Ministries.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Biblical Prophecy Program. So there's an upcoming speaking event. I will be speaking at Zion's Hope this week. Actually, this Thursday is February 27th. So Zion's Hope, and that is in Winter Garden, Florida. And I'll leave a link in the show notes here. It's free. You can attend it for free. And however, you should register because there is a set number of seats in the building. Also, I believe David Rosenthal is speaking that day, and Bob Hunt. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing everybody down there and speaking. I usually go down there and do some of the Open Bible Studio electives, but because of the exigencies of life, I was only able to do one for the spring here. And again, that's this Thursday in Winter Garden at Zion's Hope. Okay, in this episode, I want to address or actually give you one of the strongest arguments for premillennialism. So, amillennialism, and they maintain that in Revelation 24, there's a when it talks about come to life, or zao is the Greek word. Let me read Revelation 20, verse 4. It says, "Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those who had been given authority to judge. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. These had not worshipped the beast or the image and had refused to receive his mark on their forehead or hand. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So, and this is in the context of the binding of Satan here in verses 1 through 3. So you have two events happening. You have the binding of Satan, right, for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, you have the reign of the saints. And that's in verses 4 through 6. Now, of course, amillennialists, at least obviously those who believe that they're not full preterists, they believe, amillennialists who believe that the resurrection is still in the future, and yet they believe that the binding of Satan occurred at the first coming of Christ. So obviously you can't have the resurrection of God's people happening at the first coming of Jesus, right? That would be full preterism, that would be heresy. So they have to, they're forced then to argue that the term here, come to life, doesn't really mean a physical resurrection. Okay, so they have to make it into a different meaning, a different sense of coming to life. So again, amillennialism maintains that zao there in verse 20, verse 4, chapter 20, verse 4, referring that, you know, where it talks about the first resurrection, should be construed either as referring to regeneration at the point of the believer's conversion. Okay, so William Cox, who wrote the book Amillennialism Today, believes that that refers, the first resurrection doesn't believe, it doesn't mean a physical resurrection. Instead, he would argue that, or he has argued that, it should be construed either as referring to regeneration, you know, at the point of the believer's conversion, or to spiritual resurrection, where at physical death, the translation of the believer's soul ascends to heaven to live and reign with Christ until the parousia. So all millennialists have two different senses or meanings other than a physical resurrection. This idea of a spiritual resurrection at the physical death, translation of the soul to heaven. But some believe that it's regeneration. Okay, so both of these interpretations, they share the major implication that if correct, again, then the first resurrection mentioned in chapter 20, verses 4 through 6 is not referring to the future general resurrection of the saints that will occur at the parousia. So rather, the millennium, again, for them, would be located in the pre-parousia inter-advent period. And of course, by logical extension, the binding of Satan occurs contemporaneous during the heavenly reign of the saints. Okay, however, in John's discourse, he does not use zao to refer to conversion or to the soul's translation to heaven. This term never refers to that. Instead, there is precedent in his discourse to use it for physical resurrection. For example, you have Jesus' resurrection in Revelation chapter 1, verses 18, and chapter 2, verses 8. And then you have the beast resurrection in chapter 13, verse 14. Okay, so just on the lexical level, you have the term zao. It always refers to this idea of, well, a physical resurrection, either of Jesus' resurrection in the book of Revelation or the beast resurrection. And then, of course, this repeated in chapter 20, verse 4. All right, so noting that point, beginning with that overview of a lexical analysis, there are further reasons, very good reasons, to interpret zao as a physical resurrection. First, there's a theologian by the name of Rezegui, and this is what he says. He says, quote, "The non-sequential, the amillennial interpretation requires taking zao as a spiritual resurrection in the first occurrence," in chapter 20, verse 4, "and as a bodily resurrection in the second," chapter 20, verse 5. So a move that the implied reader could not possibly, and I agree with them, they could not possibly, the original audience could not possibly negotiate without further clues in the text. Okay, I need to repeat this. He says the amillennial interpretation requires, given his prejudicial, preconceived notions of a binding of Satan at Christ's first coming, they're required then taking zao, the idea to live, as a spiritual resurrection in the first instance or occurrence, and as a bodily resurrection in verse 5. So you have a completely different sense in verse 4 compared to the one in verse 5. So the reader, the original audience, could not possibly transfer the meaning in chapter 20, verse 4 as a spiritual resurrection, and then somehow now we're talking in the next verse as a bodily resurrection in verse 5. Also, Webb Mealy, this is what he says. He says he views this quote-unquote spiritual resurrection interpretation as undermining by the statement, quote, "the rest of the dead did not come to life," chapter 20, verse 5, which certainly is a reference to a physical resurrection. That's a key point right there. This expression, the rest of the dead did not come to life. In this context, it clearly refers to a physical resurrection. I'm sorry, it just would not, it does not, it, that makes no sense that it would be referring to a regeneration. Because again, I'll probably note here in a moment here, all of this is happening at one moment here in terms of the resurrection. Okay, another point here is a collocation with the term anastasis. Now, anastasis, the term here makes it unlikely that it refers to the new birth or the translation of the soul at death. Another point here is that the quote, new birth interpretation would have martyrdom. Now listen to this. This is the incoherence of the amillennial interpretation. The new birth interpretation would have martyrdom occurring before conversion. It's just absurd. Another point is that the text conveys that all the martyr saints begin reigning at the same time and at the establishment of the millennium, not occurring at intervals at different points during and even toward the end of the millennium. And then finally here, in describing the martyred believers who come to life, they are said to have been physically dead. That's key. It said they were physically dead. It said the souls of those who have been beheaded. So it follows here, the reader would naturally infer that the same category of physically coming to life is in view here. So these reasons, I believe, they explain why the amillennial interpretation is an incoherent reading in this passage.